Should we do the update?
Update, yes. So paper 12D, IFRIC update, the report of the November Interpretations Committee meeting. Just five items that I wanted to highlight from this report. First of all, on page 3, report on the project relating to uncertain tax positions. The committee continued to work on this, looking at scope, unit of account and an approach to measurement for a possible interpretation of IAS 12 on this item, and in particular to flag for you the committee's tentative decisions relating to measurement. They propose that a draft interpretation would require either the most likely amount or the expected value of the uncertain tax position, depending on which method gave the more useful information in the entity's opinion. That is based on the model that we have in IFRS 15 for variable consideration or variable sales price. What this would mean, though, is that we would be prohibiting the use of a more likely than not measurement model, which is what is used in US GAAP. So just wanted to flag that for you. So the committee, if you like, concluded their technical discussions on that and will look at a draft interpretation at the next meeting. The next item to flag on page 4, the item to do with IAS 16, and this is to do with accounting for net proceeds and costs of testing of property, plant and equipment. This had been an issue which initially the committee had rejected and published a tentative agenda decision, but based on the feedback received to that, decided now to add this item to their agenda. And the next steps will be to look at a number of issues related to this. These are listed A to F on page 4. So we'll be gathering some input on those areas and then continuing the committee's discussions there to see what clarification could be given to the accounting in this area. And then also on page 4, item related to IAS 21 and the effects of or the exchange rate to use, or the selection of the exchange rate when accounting for a transaction in which the prepayment occurs before the delivery of the goods or services. This is something that would have been submitted to us in the context of a revenue transaction, although it would be just as relevant for a purchase transaction as well, where there is a prepayment. And the Interpretations Committee tentatively concluded that IAS 21 is not entirely clear on the applicable exchange rate as to whether it's the date of the prepayment or the date of the delivery of the goods or services that should drive the exchange rate that is used for recording of the revenue. So the committee have tentatively decided to develop an interpretation of IAS 21 to address this issue. The next item to mention is on page 8. And this is one of the agenda decisions that was finalised at the November meeting. This relates to the foreign exchange issues where you have exchange restrictions and compounded with hyperinflation. And this was an issue that had come up in respect of dealings with subsidiaries in Venezuela by companies from outside of the country. Now, the committee concluded, following the feedback they received on their tentative agenda decision, not to take this onto their agenda on the basis that this is too broad an issue for it to address. Just wanted to flag this for you because I know it had come up as part of the discussions relating to the research project on IAS 21 as well, but just wanted to let you know the Interpretations Committee is not going to be taking that issue further forward. And then finally, in the tentative agenda decisions published in the November IFRIC update, on page 9 we have the start of one of seven tentative agenda decisions related to IFRS 11. These cover a range of topics related to the classification of joint arrangements, the accounting by the joint operator and also the accounting by the joint operation. And these are the sort of the culmination of a number of months of discussion by the Interpretations Committee, and it has collected together in these different topics the results of its discussions. These are out for comment for 60 days in the normal way, and so we'll be looking to finalise these at the March Interpretations Committee meeting. So those were the things I wanted to highlight, and then just to ask if you have questions on those or any other items.
Sue?
I just had an observation on IAS 16, the question about net proceeds from testing.
Yes.
I guess my sense and some of the comments that we've got back, some of the comments that the Interpretations Committee got back on that was that some people are reacting to a change in practice rather than so much interpretation of the words in the standard. And I guess in the small group meeting that I attended on this, it was flagged that we needed to be careful to sort of manage the sort of scope of what gets analysed here and to make sure that it's restricted to really, you know, focusing a bit on when something's available for use and when the net proceeds come from testing, and making sure that we're sort of focusing on an interpretation issue and not making this into a bigger thing than, and I just sort of wanted to flag that and hope that you guys are keeping an eye on that.
No, good point. Stephen?
And just on IS 12 and page 3, and this measurement, either most likely or probability weighted. My understanding of IFRS 15, you link it to IFRS 15, and my understanding there is that portfolios, probability weighted, single item, most likely. How can you have, is that what the thinking was for the Interpretations Committee? How can you have a portfolio when it comes to an uncertain tax position?
Well, you may have a number of uncertain tax positions that relate to a similar decision or the same decision that is perhaps before the tax authority. So you could have a situation where you've got a number of
But they would all be correlated. The whole point with IFRS 15 is if you have a portfolio, the outcome is not correlated between them, and therefore doing a probability weighted amount for each of them individually will get you the outcome of the portfolio. But if you've got one issue before the tax authorities, the outcome is going to be either yes or no, and it affects all of them in the same way.
If you're dealing with just the one tax authority, and assuming that you've got a high degree, you know, it is exactly the same issue, but you could have variations on a theme that may or may not end up with the same outcome.
It just seems to me that the IFRS 15 solution seems convenient, but I don't see there's a read across from one to the other.
Okay, I'll note that.
Martin?
A question to this Venezuela issue. The Interpretation Committee is not dealing with that any longer, you said. But will you bring that back to the board then, or how should we address it?
The foreign exchange Venezuela issue. I think where that was left the last time with the board, as far as the research discussion was concerned, which was when you last discussed it, was it was really subject to yourselves asking for this to be brought back. So there wasn't an automatic bring back. But if this was something that you wanted us to bring back, then we could do so. Alan, did you have anything more to add to that?
No, that's right. I think we've basically not closed off the major project, but put on lower priority and said if there's some issues like this you think we need to deal with for narrow scope change, then we should have a look at it.
There was clear advice from the Global Preparers Forum that they need some guidance how to do this. And if the Interpretation Committee is not doing anything, I think the chat has to be brought back to the board. What I think.
Barry?
Michael, you flagged as the last item the package of agenda decisions about IFRS 11 mostly. And it just, It's a bit unusual to have this many coming together. I guess that it made sense to work them together. Are there any concerns about the extent with the outcome being all decisions not to take things onto the agenda, or was at the end of the day the interpretation committee pretty comfortable with this as the route forward, or actually the route not forward on these issues?
It does reflect the quite a number of months of discussion, and
yeah.
I think the interpretations committee got comfortable with the conclusions they were able to draw from the literature that we already have, and so they felt that obviously each situation needs to be looked at according mm-hmm. to individual facts and circumstances, but in the sort of test cases that they looked at, they felt there was enough material here that meant they didn't need to propose that we add more to the standard or do an interpretation of IFRS 11. We have bundled them together, and that reflects in part the fact that in summer 2013 we did do some specific outreach to gather together a number of issues, because we'd had a number sort of come through to us over a period of time, and we thought, well, let's gather these all together and look at them as one bundle, if you like. So it does look a little odd because there's so many, but it's reflective of the process that we went through on this occasion.
It was a very conscious decision by the committee. I think they are very comfortable, but they really wanted people to benefit from all of the analysis that had been done in the staff papers, which they thought would be really helpful for people in implementing the standard. So there was a bit of a discussion about what form it should be in.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see the feedback, but I think they were pretty comfortable about it.
Okay.